CRV.
And a very good morning to you. It's John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group back with you for another program of The Law and You this Tuesday morning. It's your opportunity to get free legal advice between now and 9.30, or that's 10.30, of course, daylight saving time. All you need to do is get on that telephone as soon as you possibly can. 5520888 is the number. That number again, 5520888. And if you do happen to live south of the border, well, particularly south of the Tweed River, don't forget that you need to put 07 in front of the number, otherwise you'll get straight through. But otherwise, north of the Tweed River, so in other words, in Tweed and north, just straight through on 5520888. And while we're waiting for some callers to come online, just a quick thank you to all the people who rang through last week and made for such an interesting program. The first 15 minutes or so of the program was very quiet, and then all of a sudden we just had an avalanche of calls leading up to the 9.30 cut-off time for the program. So thank you to all the people who called in. But it is always better if we can balance those calls out a little bit so it gives more time to be able to talk to the various people. So if you have a question or a query this morning, don't leave it for that last 10 minutes of the program. Call now, 5520888. And you may remember that last week, Ray, in fact, was our very first caller about a home that he has in Brisbane. And his family, I think from memory, have been living there for about 10 years. And he was thinking about wanting to transfer the property to his family and queried about the stamp duty. So I did make some investigations in relation to that, and the concessions still are the same as what I recalled them to be many years ago when I was involved in this sort of work. So the first $350,000 of the value of the property is assessed at 1% rather than the normal rate, and then any amount on top of that is assessed at the normal rate. So, for example, if the property, Ray, that you were looking to transfer to your family in Brisbane was worth $550,000, then the first $350,000 would be charged at 1% and the remaining $200,000 at normal rates, which would give a total stamp duty bill on that transaction of $10,600. But if the home concession were not allowed, then the total stamp duty would be $17,775. So, in other words, a saving of just over $7,000 on the stamp duty. So, there are conditions, of course, that apply, and they are in particular that you must declare that you have an intention to enter into residence in the property in order to be able to claim that concession. But in Ray's case, where his family are already living there, that shouldn't present a problem at all. But enough of that. We've got our first callers online, and we say a very good morning to Sophie. G'day, Sophie. How are you today?
Yes, good morning, Sophie. Thank you. Look, I have a daughter who has bought a plot of land up north, just inland from Caloundra. Mm-hmm. Now, she's decided she's not doesn't want that anymore. She's going to go overseas. I want to purchase that plot of land from mm-hmm. her.
Yep.
Now, do I have to go through a, what do you call it, what's the word, who people who deal with the land changing names?
Through a real estate agent, or do you mean no, through, not a, real estate. Or through a solicitor or a conveyancer? No, you don't have to, and it wouldn't matter whether you were buying, looking to purchase that off your daughter or off anyone else for that matter. Mm-hmm. It's entirely up to you as to whether you feel able to deal with the matter. So if you feel quite comfortable in doing what's required, then no, there's certainly no obligation at all to use either a conveyancer or a solicitor.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, it's done between the two of us. So how do I have to register or something?
Well, you personally don't have to register, but there is a process to transfer land. So obviously there needs to be a transfer done in relation to the property. It would have to be at an agreed price, and if the agreed price is less than the market value, then stamp duty will be assessed on the market value of the property or the agreed price, whichever is the higher. Because it's a transaction between you and your daughter, the Office of State Revenue would require, at a minimum, an appraisal from a real estate agent setting out what their view of the value of the property is, and and quoting three comparable sales to support the reason for their decision. And then that transfer, once it's stamped, then needs to be lodged to the titles office to be registered. Does your daughter have a mortgage over the property?
No, she owns it outright.
All right, okay, because normally when you're purchasing land at arm's length, you would always do appropriate searches, which would the title search, land tax search, council rate search.
I do know it's all paperwork. It's got all the documents.
That's a decision that you'll need to make, but basically that's the process for you, Sophie. All right, then.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, then. All the very best. Bye now. And the time on 4CRB is just coming up to 12 minutes past 9. Of course, that's 12 minutes past 10, daylight saving time. And we say a very good morning to Robin. G'day, Robin. How are you today?
Yeah, good, thank you.
How can I help you today?
Well, I'm not sure if I've got the right timing or... This is about law today, isn't it?
Yes, it sure is.
Yeah. Some time back, when superannuation came in, I signed up with National Mutual, which is now, which went to AXA, the AMP. And I put in around $25,000 over the, the time. All there was to show was $12,000.
At the end?
No, this was after a couple of years, and I queried it. And they said everything was all done legal. And I asked why it wasn't growing. And I started saying, well, I'm going to have to talk to people about it. And they told me if I made any more noises about the situation, they'd sue me for defamation. Now, I was just wondering, can a company sue a private person?
Not normally. Not normally. Unless it's criminal defamation. What I would be suggesting to you to do, though, in relation to your situation, Robin, is to call the Financial Ombudsman Service.
Unfortunately, when I did hear sometime afterwards that that was the case, but I wasn't sure. I only sort of heard it secondhand. And I did approach the Ombudsman, but it, unfortunately it was the complaint was past the use-by date, as we say.
Oh, I see. That's no good.
And so... I had to just wear it.
One of the problems, of course, with... So, obviously, you were in what's referred to as a retail fund, and one of the problems, of course, with that is the fees that are charged in relation to the superannuation. What I would suggest you do, Robin, in relation to the matter, I would suggest that you actually call in on Thursday to the program here, Finance Forum, because I think they would be able to offer you a lot more advice and suggestions about steps that you might be able to take in relation to the problems that are confronting you.
Yeah. All right, then. Thanks very much.
Okay, Robin, all the very best. Time on 4CRB is just past 14 minutes past 9. Of course, that's 14 minutes past 10, daylight saving time. And we say a very good morning to Kathy. G'day, Kathy. How are you today?
I'm well, and yourself?
Very well indeed. Thanks. How can I help you today?
Yes, I just got a question to ask about... Department of Human Services, in the document that I got from them with the card for the following year, it says to me your Commonwealth Senior Card is not income tested, so you do not need to tell us about changes in your income or financial circumstances for the card.
Right.
Now, I got a call from them to say that they're going to stop the card because my salary increased a bit more over the year. So I just want to know if that, you know, I'm reading off the paper that I get the card from.
Right,
so I just wanted to know is that...
Well, my understanding was that it was income tested. But I might be wrong on that because I'm not old enough yet to get that card. I do know that I have a Queensland Seniors Business Card, I think, from memory, but that doesn't entitle you to concessional rates on your transport or anything of that nature. The only thing that I could suggest that you do in relation to that might be to give the Office of the Commonwealth Ombudsman a call. Have you got a pen handy there?
Yes.
So their number is 1300
362
072. Yes. Okay. And what I'll do, I'll check on that and comment on it next week. So this is just the normal seniors card it's
the normal Commonwealth Seniors Health Card.
Oh, the health card. The health card is most definitely income tested.
Oh, because this paper, this document I've got, it says is not income tested.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's a question about whether you're talking about the seniors card or the healthcare card. I think they may be two different things. But I certainly know that a healthcare card is income tested. But I'm not sure about the seniors card, which is the one that, for example, gives you concessions on rail transport and all that sort of thing.
No, not that one. This is the one on the medication.
Yes. No, look, I'm fairly sure that that is means tested. I'm sorry, Kathy.
Oh.
Yes. So I'm not sure exactly where you've seen it that it's saying it's not income tested.
In my hand, it's a document in my hand.
Right, okay. Well, in that case, I would definitely be ringing the Commonwealth Ombudsman's office and trying to get it sorted out with them. All right, then.
Okay, thank you very much.
Kathy, well, all the very best with that and hope you get it sorted out.
Thank you very much.
Cheers now. Okay. And the time on 4CRB is fast approaching 18 minutes after 9, of course, 18 minutes after 10, daylight saving. And we say a very good morning to Jerry. G'day, Jerry. How are you today?
Who?
Jerry, is that you?
Yes. Hello, John. How are you?
I'm going well. What about yourself?
I'm holding up right.
Good on you. How can we help you today?
John, did you receive an email from me about a parking sign outside Fradgley Hall at Burley?
No, I didn't. I must confess that I didn't check the emails here this morning. But my very efficient panel operator is quickly seeing if he can find your email. But maybe while he's looking for it, can you tell me what happened?
Okay. Outside Fradgley Hall, there's a sign there, a parking sign, that says Monday to Friday, Monday 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. And Saturday 8 a.m. till 12 p.m.
Yes, I've got it up in front of me, and it says below that permit holders accepted.
Yeah, that's right. So they don't have to pay.
Permit holders do not have to pay. No, that's quite correct in that particular spot.
But after
5 p.m. on Monday to Friday, or after 12 noon on a Saturday, you shouldn't need to have a permit. On my reading of that sign.
Yeah, is there any other way of interpreting that?
I find it very difficult to see how it could be otherwise. When did you get your ticket?
On the 15th of September.
Okay, so what day was that?
That was a Saturday.
Saturday.
I belong to the Gold Coast Riders Association.
Okay, and what time was the ticket issued?
It was 3:13 p.m. on the Saturday.
Have you been in touch with the council?
No, I thought I'd talk to you about it first.
Well, look, certainly on my reading of that, I can't understand how they could give you a ticket at 3:13 on a Saturday when the sign clearly says. Did the ticket say that you were parked in an area other than an authorised area?
Well, it gave me the number of the site that I was parked in, but this sign is right beside the pay station.
Yep.
I've been advising fellow members of the Riders Association that, no, it's it clearly says that after 12 o'clock on Saturday, well, what does it say?
Is there another sign? Is there another sign nearby which says that you're in a regulated parking area and that parking is only permitted for 2 hours, for example?
No. No, it's a very big car park, as
right.
you probably
yep.
know.
Yep.
There could be other signs around the property somewhere, but
yep.
I have to park my car in the shade, so my little dog's...
Okay. Yeah, well, what I would suggest you do is get onto the parking... well, you can do one of two things, Jerry. You can either get onto the parking section of the Gold Coast City Council and send them... you could probably ring them up and get an email address and send them, you know, what you've sent me. And I would also suggest that you send them a copy of the ticket that you've been issued with so that they can work out what the code is, because it may be that the code relates – I'm not familiar with that car park overly. I know where it is. It's actually on the site of the old Burley Heads tennis courts where I used to play tennis as a young boy, so I know very much where it is. But I haven't parked in there for a long time, so I don't know whether it's two-hour regulated parking, which means that you can park in there for 2 hours, and outside of certain hours you don't need, you know, if you're outside certain hours, the 2 hours doesn't apply, or whether that regulation that you've, the photograph sign you've sent only applies to that area. So do what I suggest there, Jerry, and see what the council have to say in relation to the matter. Or you could take the matter up with the local councillor for Burley if you wanted to do that. And I think from memory, the divisional councillor there is Pauline Young, who's the councillor for Burley.
All right.
Pauline, I could give you her phone number if you've got a pen.
Yes, I have.
Okay, so her number is 5581.
Yep.
6382. Yeah, so you could ring her office and they might be able to take up the matter for you as well, because certainly it needs to be clarified given that it may be an issue for other members of your organisation.
I'm sure it has been. Every time I go there, I see people wanting to feed the... get the ticket, and I sort of say, well, look, it clearly says, I mean, this really means that at 3 o'clock on Sunday morning I could get a ticket for parking there. When
it depends on the hours, Brian, Jerry, so until you see what the sign says as you actually enter the car park, it may not be clear, but take it up with them first and let me know how you go.
Okay, John.
All the very best with that. And actually, Jerry, by the way, just give us a call back and let us know how you get on, because I'd be interested to know.
I will do.
Good on you, Jerry. Thanks for the call. Cheers now.
Bye.
And the time on 4CRB, 23 and a half minutes past 9, past 10, south of the border, as we say good morning to Brian. G'day, Brian. How are you today?
Oh, good morning, John. It's Brian here.
How can we help?
I've got a comment about parking.
Yep.
I own a vehicle that bears a disabled parking permit and has done for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
I parked in a regular disabled space in Surfers Paradise and I was given a ticket. The wording of the ticket was stopping in a parking area for people with disability. The car had the ticket on it, but the ticket had apparently expired. It had expired.
Right, okay.
That car is used on a regular basis every week around Surfers Paradise and Southport and parked in disabled parking bays or normal parking bays, where you can't be pinched.
Yep.
And it's never received a ticket.
Yep.
My complaint is that the wording of the ticket says stopping in a parking area for people with disability. It doesn't mention the fact that there is a ticket expired.
I thought you said when the ticket, saying the ticket was expired.
The ticket on the car was expired, but the ticket by the council doesn't say that. It says stopping in a parking area for people with disabilities. That's exactly what it was doing.
But I think under the council regulations, you have to have a current permit. So that's undoubtedly the reason why they've pinged you.
I do, but it's clever dickery
to
put a wording on a ticket that doesn't actually tell the truth. why not? And I've asked a few of the guys walking the street put the tickets up. Why don't they have a specific complaint that says parking with a ticket that's expired? And the reason for that, on the back of the ticket, is a lot of mumbo-jumbo about going to court and so forth. Now, there's no exclusion from this court process if you have a ticket that, like this, has expired.
Well, I think if you were to contact the parking section, the regulated parking section of the council, I'm sure this issue has come up with them before where people don't have
John,
the
permit. They're very evasive about this. I reckon it's gouging or I reckon it's fund collecting because none of the parking inspectors were prepared to explain it any further to me or why the wording was so cleverly put on the ticket. And it means that a person in this situation is given the final alternative. Alternative one, pay the fine or go to the magistrate's court.
But I think if you've got an expired sticker on your car, then I'm sorry, Brian, but I have to disagree with you. I don't think it's unreasonable for the council to issue a ticket. What I would suggest you do is contact the local councillor for Service Paradise, Gary Baildon, take up the point that you do have a current permit and you've just forgotten to put the new one on the car and see if they can get the ticket waived for you. See, the other side of it is that if you, for example, put your expired permit in the bin and someone and it dropped on the road and someone found it and thought, oh, this is a great idea, I'll just stick this on my car, you could have people going around with expired permits all over the place parking in disabled spaces where they have no entitlement to do so. So
exactly.
Ring Gary Baildon. Do you want the number for his office?
No, I've got a replacement ticket for the car now.
But I would still take... So have you been able to sort out the fine or not?
No, I have lodged all the documents with the council. I haven't received a reply. It's now reaching the cut-off point.
Well, I think they normally suspend action until your complaint is resolved. So I'm pretty sure that's the situation. But I would also ring Gary's office for some support in relation to the matter as well.
Righto.
All right,
thanks,
then.
Thanks, John.
Okay, Brian, all the very best.
Bye.
Cheers now. And the time is quickly coming up to 28 minutes past 9, and that's probably all the time we have. I'll be back after this word from our sponsors. Oh, no, we've taken the sponsors out. Tommy's too efficient. That's quite okay, not a problem at all. A few things I was going to mention before we close the program today, and that is, look, I'm sorry to pass this news on to you, but do you realise it's only 77 days till Christmas? Oh, that's frightening, isn't it? 77 days till Christmas. It seems like just yesterday that it was the start of the year. We've got Sophie back online. I don't know whether that's the first call I had, so we'll just quickly try and speak to her, but it will need to be quick. Hi, Sophie. How are you?
Yes, I'm sorry to call you again, but I'll just give you an instance. I have a disabled sticker on my front left-hand passenger seat. Dashboard.
Yep.
I went to Burley, I parked in the disabled, I came out, I had a ticket for parking in a disabled park for a fine of $360. Now, what had happened, obviously, I didn't know, but I had, when I closed the door, the ticket had turned over the wrong way. Now, wouldn't you think somebody would use their brains? I do have the ticket, it wasn't expired, and I got a fine for $300 and something with a disabled sticker. But I'm parking in a disabled.
Yes, well, unfortunately, I mean, I can't blame the fellow if the ticket is upside down. But I would, again, that's one of those instances where I'd get on to the council or the local councilor, and I would be fairly confident that they would look sympathetically at that.
Well, I find it incredible because there's people, when I go down there, with no tickets to park in disabled, and I don't ever see them getting fined.
Yeah, just the luck of the draw, isn't it? But we'll have to leave it there. Sophie, thanks for the call. John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group, it's been great to be with you for The Law on You today. I'll look forward to being back with you, of course, next week. But as always, until then, it's goodbye and God bless.